Today's Family Man Show with Todd Wilson is sponsored by Rob Boyron and DrivePop.com. DrivePop.com offers unlimited cloud storage for all your computers, so you can rest at ease knowing your data is protected. Welcome to the Family Man Show with Todd Wilson. This is the show dedicated to changing the world one dad at a time. I'm your host, Scott Moore. Thanks for joining us this week. How's it going today, Todd?
Well, it's a beautiful day here in northern Indiana. This is the days that we live for. We kind of had a break in the weather yesterday. We had a big rainstorm up here, and it is cool out there. Beautiful sun. Clear. I bet you it's not even 72 degrees out there, and it just feels like fall is in the air. And so I've got my kids out there working, cutting grass right now. I could almost hear the mower if I took my headphones off, and they're burning trash. And we just emptied out a whole bunch of stuff from my in-law's lake cottage. So we brought it all up here, and we're going to throw some of it away, put some of it at the end of the driveway. I don't know about you, but we've got this like driveway that is like, it's better than Craigslist. You just put it at the end of the driveway and it disappears. I usually will put stuff out there as I'm walking back to the house. I turn around and people are picking it up. So, and that's good. That's good. And I should welcome Rob Boyron with DrivePop.com. We're excited to have him as a sponsor. That's our very first sponsor. It's kind of like, it just takes us to a whole new level.
It's a monumental moment. And you know what? We are approaching episode number 50 together.
Wow.
I think this is 48.
One day it'll just be like Seinfeld, you know? We'll have had 10 years together and we'll be a household name like Simon and Garfunkel.
Sweet.
Tony Orlando and Dawn.
I'll be Rob Rid. What was that guy's name? Andrew Ridgely. That's his name from Wham. And you'll be the main guy, whatever his
name
was.
There you go. I don't
even remember his name now. Holy cow. I can remember the sidekick, but anyway.
Because they're all dead. So how's the life at your house going?
Today's cleaning day, and I took the kids out to pick some corn for my mother-in-law. And that was fun because that was the first time I think my kids had ever picked corn.
Wow. So that's another momentous occasion.
It's a big day.
Yeah. It is a big day. The excitement level's high here. Yes. So do you have cleaning days? We're recording this on a Tuesday. Do you have cleaning days at your house every Tuesday?
More or less. It's supposed to be every Tuesday. And then my kids have daily chores that they do. It's pretty much like pulling teeth, though, especially when I'm the one in charge. If my wife's not here, things get ugly fast. I think my kids think they can just get away with more with me, and I don't know why.
Because they can.
Yeah. And I keep trying to, like, make it easier by playing music and trying to, you know, have it be inspiring and fun. And that just distracts them, and they argue about the music then instead of, you know, actually cleaning.
Oh yeah, I know. It's a burden we all bear. I mean, and you know, when we do that, we have cleaning days on Friday here at our house, and you know, I'm kind of the enforcer because my wife, she like will complain and say, why won't they do this? And I'm like, just ask them to do it. She goes, well, they won't do it for me. And I'm like, yes, they do. Just ask them. But really, what she means is, she wants me to be the guy who's always, you know, on them, telling them what to do.
Now, have you gotten to the point with your kids? I mean, you probably have long ago, but I'm having trouble where, like, especially with my boys who are 10 and 8, trying to get them. I feel like they should have learned some of these things by now. Where it's like, okay, we've said this 100 times. You still don't know what the difference is between a washcloth and a dish towel.
Here's my theory. My theory is that our kids are stupid, that they just cannot figure it out. I don't know. Maybe I was the same way, you know, or they turn their brains off or I don't know what. They're distracted. And that's just part of being a dad. You know, you think they're going to get it. And I think eventually they do. When they get their own house one day, they will know the difference between a dish rag and a wash rag. But I think until that time, you just have to keep reminding them.
I guess so.
And smile at the same time. You said you read something neat in the news. What was that?
This was just bizarre. It's like there's so many lessons in this story. I rarely buy the newspaper anymore, but I bought one on Sunday because occasionally I like to, you know, sit and read it a little bit and pretend I'm an old man.
Because it smells. It has a smell. I mean, it has a feel. It's not like whipping through on an iPad or something like
that. Exactly. So I was wasting my time reading the newspaper. And my kids love the funnies. They, you know, they get into the comic strips. So they read that, and I peruse through the pages here. And I found this article from the Associated Press, that vaunted news institution, yes. And this article, first of all, there's so many lessons in here, one of which is you should never, ever buy a newspaper again.
Yeah.
If anyone thought this was newsworthy, you really just should stop reading the newspaper at all. It's an article about, well, the title of it is Mystery of Grave Next to Oswald's in Texas Solved. Nick Beef, the still-living man who bought the burial plot next to Lee Harvey Oswald's burial plot, had seen JFK the night before his assassination, apparently. So it's this guy who, his name is not Nick Beef, but he put a little plaque next to the one that says Oswald, and it says Nick Beef on it. Nick Beef apparently is some nickname he came up with when he was writing comedy at one point, and use that as some sort of personality. And this
obviously
guy,
he didn't do very well at that.
Of course. And apparently this guy's still alive, living in New York. And get this, he calls himself a non-performing performance artist.
Non-performing performance artist. Okay.
Now that right there was the first big lesson, besides the fact that this is just bizarre in of itself. But if you're calling yourself a non-performing performance artist, it's like a non-driving taxi driver. Just lay down and be done with it all, okay?
<That's right. laughs>
You're really wasting your life if you're calling yourself that. So that was one big lesson. And then just he said as a kid, his mom would take him to visit Oswald's grave. I have no idea why, other than, I mean, he saw Kennedy the night before Kennedy was assassinated, and then his mom would take him to visit Oswald's grave.
Hmm.
I don't know. If it was me, I might, you know, maybe go visit Kennedy's grave if I was such a fan. I don't know. Why Oswald? It's just bizarre. So that was another question I had. And, you know, and the guy's still alive, yet he put a little plaque there in his little burial plot. And that was the other thing. When he was 18, he read that the burial plot next to Oswald's was up for sale. And he thought, hey, why don't I buy it? The only reason he's been able to come up with for why, when people ask him, is it meant something to me in life. That's the direct quote. I'm sorry, if that's the only reason you can come up with. Wow. Seriously, dude, it's time to rethink your life.
Well, he is, after all, a non-performing performer.
Yeah. I was stunned on so many levels by this story that I'm like, why am I wasting my time with a newspaper? So,
but he did make the news, so that's something.
Yeah. It filled up 6.5 inches of space in the newspaper at the end of the A section, I guess. It had to be just filler. They had absolutely nothing to put on there. And they're like, hey, there's this guy in Texas who bought this plot next to Oswald. Let's write about him.
Well, we have a little local paper here in the town we're at, and my sister-in-law, she took a picture of a bald eagle while she was on vacation up here, and she submitted it to the newspaper, and that was actually not on the front page, but it made, you know, significant headlines there, along with some other guy who went on a vacation to the Holy Land, you know, and it included his pictures. So, you know, they're looking for stuff, and if you slant it right, it sounds like it's really, really important. Talking about really important news, did you happen to see the newest episode of Duck Dynasty?
I did not. Isn't it tonight? I thought tonight was opening night.
Is it? Oh, it might be. I saw a little teaser on the, I don't know, it was on
Facebook or something.
Yeah, I saw the little teaser there. They said that they're trying to talk Willie and his brother Jeff into having an anniversary party for their dad, Phil, and Miss Kay, their mom. But so I won't be able to see it because I don't get cable, so I won't be able to see it until it comes out on DVD.
I'm actually house sitting for my mother-in-law tonight, so, and they have cable, so I might be able to catch it if I get there early enough.
And that's tonight, huh?
Yes.
I didn't realize that. Wow.
But it'll be like a couple nights ago when this comes out, so.
That's true. Unless they listen to it, you know, like in 2017, and that's old news by now. We could be dead by then.
I hope not. Unless Jesus comes back, in which case I'm fine with that.
There you go. There you go. Well, hey, I shout out to Jeff Ropke, who had written me this past week, said he's a listener to the Family Man show. And Jeff, you know, it's in moments like this, as Scott and I are talking, that you just kind of wonder if maybe you're wasting your life, you know, on stuff like this. You should have a newspaper where you could be reading really important things as opposed to two guys yakking back and forth about being a dad. Which reminds me, this could be newsworthy. I'm thinking this could be really big, Scott.
All right.
You know, every once in a while, you know how you're laying in bed and you just have this like thought, and you just keep chewing on it and chewing on it. I think it was maybe two nights ago, I was thinking about how, you know, different slang words and phrases have become popular over the years. Like, you could probably, tell me which decade these came from. Like, groovy, you know, is from the 70s. Cool, maybe, you know, that was the 80s kind of thing. Or gnarly, I don't know which decade that came from. Totally awesome. Or sweet, you know, that's kind of a newer thing. Or up your nose with a rubber hose. Do you know where that's from?
I don't. Wasn't that?
That was from. Go ahead.
That had to be the 50s or something.
No, not quite that old. That was actually the 70s, because that was Welcome Back, Cotter.
Oh,
was,
yeah, that, yeah. Now I remember.
Or Gag Me With a Spoon. I'm not sure where that came from.
That's the 80s. That's the Valley Girl thing.
Oh, was that? But I was thinking, you know, who starts those? I mean, like sweet. I mean, I that's hard for me to say, because I don't know. I that's not my decade. And so when I hear other people say, oh, man, that's sweet, it sounds funny coming out of my mouth. And I thought maybe I could start one, you know, and see if I use it enough, that if it would catch on, you know.
We might have to develop a Family Man sitcom to be able to do that. Because I know on Happy Days, they used to try and come up with little catchphrases almost every episode to try and insert into the culture.
That is true. I think mine's going to work, though. Because, of course, it's got to be a dad thing, you know, because I'm the Family Man, you know. And so I was thinking that we would use if say you saw a guy, you know, who's doing something very daddish. You know, maybe he's got the sandals with the black socks. You would say, that's so D for dad, you know. And so if you saw, like, you know, someone tells a lame joke, you'd go, that's so D, you know. Or, you know, you see this old rusty van with a bunch of people in it and a big old trailer hitch on the back, you'd go, that's so D, you know. And then we begin this thing. And it would kind of be like a badge of honor and yet kind of catchy. That's so D.
I like it.
T-shirt. Okay. You know, and so when you see the guy who does something stupid that only a dad would do, you'd say, man, that's so D. And I think that's this could be big.
It could be like Uncle Si saying, hey.
Yeah. Hey. Nah. Yeah.
Have you seen all the stuff they've got? I mean, they've got T-shirts and hats and cups. And, I mean, you can buy a size cup. My son has one. He was thrilled with
it.
You
have one. My son bought it for me. So if they can do it, so can we.
That's right.
Well, hey, we're halfway through this show. And so it's time for our very first commercial. And I'd just like to say today's Family Man show is sponsored by Rob Boyron and DrivePop.com. Rob, a fellow Family Man, and his wife have two girls, and he works right out of his home. Their business, DrivePop.com, offers cloud backup storage for PC and Mac users. Most people don't think about implementing a data backup plan until it's too late, and they've lost it on, would be willing to pay just about anything to have it all back. Their simple software for DrivePop.com is 100% automated once you select the folders you want to back up. Just set it and forget it. And rest easy knowing that your pictures, video, music, and documents are safely stored encrypted on their military-grade servers. Then if, or when, your computer dies, the blue screen of death, you can easily restore any file that you have already backed up with a few simple clicks. Rob would like to extend to all the Family Man listeners a lifetime license to their unlimited plan, which offers unlimited cloud storage space for unlimited computers for only $99.99 for lifetime access. Now, if you're unlike my house and have just a few computers, DrivePop.com offers a one computer access deal for $59.99 or five computers for $74.99. Hey, Dad, I'm telling you, this is a great deal for cloud backup service, since most services charge anywhere from $50 to $150 per year. DrivePop.com is one-time, never-pay-again payment for lifetime cloud backup. Now, they also offer a 60-day money-back guarantee and offer support via email and their ticketing system. If that's not enough, they're just good people and love their family. You can take advantage of this great offer by going to drivepop.com/familyman/ or email Rob directly at rob@drivepop.com. Or as a last-ditch effort, you can go to our website and search for Drive Pop. And I just want to say, since this is our very first sponsor, Rob, I'm so thankful that you're willing to invest in us. And we hope, I want to encourage all you dads, if you don't have a backup system for your computer, you ought to get one. Scott, I don't know. Have you ever lost anything really important on your computer?
Oh yeah, we have, and we've lost it to the computers crashing. We lost it to viruses. We've had, you know, all kinds of problems, and yet we still don't have a good backup system right now. We pretty much have, like, my wife has several different external hard drives that she backs stuff up to for her pictures, for photography and stuff. But we still, I mean, it could still happen. I'm looking at this thing, and this is a smoking hot deal. I think I'm going to be doing this because this, we need it.
It sounds like a great deal, and you're encouraging another family man. I know right now I'm working on the You to Dad daily calendar, and I'm almost at the, January. I'm almost halfway through. Even today I was working on one of the days in January. I started in August. Started in January, and if you've never seen a You to Dad daily calendar, it's, you know, it's just a page a day calendar. It has a little bit of trivia, like, on this day this happened, like Wednesday, January 15th, the donkey was first used as a symbol of the Democratic Party in Harper's Weekly in 1870. I still don't know why they chose a donkey, but they did. And today's tip of the day says, give him a kunik. And of course, you know what a kunik is, right?
Not a clue.
I didn't think so. It says, rub noses with someone today in your family, of course. A kunik is an Eskimo kiss, you know, and I guess they call it a kunik. And the way it started is these Eskimos, you know, they would come up and they would rub, I guess, not just their noses, but their nose and their upper lip against the skin, you know, like cheeks or forehead, breathing in, kind of like a little suction cup against their, and I guess they did that because, you know, when they met somebody that, you know, there was kids outside, that was the only thing that was showing. The rest of it was covered in whatever, whale blubber and deer skins or something like that. And people started calling that an Eskimo kiss. So, but anyway, you know, I we've got ours backed up, but this computer that I'm using right now is not backed up. So I would be wise to maybe take advantage of Rob's service as well, because it scares me all the time to think that we might lose something. And we have had the blue screen of death more than once. So, Dad, you'd be a wise person to take advantage of Rob's offer. So, hey, let's let that be kind of our turning point. You know, Scott, I just thought we'd talk just for a few minutes here. Maybe this is a kind of a returning subject. A repeating subject, because we've talked about it, I'm sure, before. But I don't know if your wife feels this, but we've been gone. I remember my family was here for a couple weeks, and we've been going back and forth and doing all these things, and the trash is piling up. The house feels overwhelming. You know, my kids are making messes faster than we can keep up with them. My little kids, you know, because they're bored, are, like, have all the winter stuff. You know, they got their stocking caps on and their gloves on because they're bashing each other with swords and things like that, and that's their armor. And my wife, I can tell, is starting to get a little overwhelmed. And the thing about when my wife gets overwhelmed, and I mean this nicely, but she turns on me, you know, she turns on me, and she looks at me as though, like, it's my fault that we had all these kids. It's my fault that I'm not doing a better job of taking care of the messes. And I was just thinking that maybe we talk, you know, again, as husbands, our job of loving our wives, because it is a full-time job. It's not one of those things that you can coast on. You know, I think that everything's going great. I think that we're in love and everything's... Last night, we had a great evening. We had went on a date with my aunt. We had a really good time, and we were loving, and everything was great. And then we went to bed, and we woke up, and my wife's overwhelmed, and she's mad at me. You know, I'm thinking, what happened? And I don't know if you ever find yourself in those predicaments, Scott.
Constantly. The normal state of affairs in my house, we're always overwhelmed.
So how do you handle that? I mean, are you one of those guys who, you know, like water off a duck's back? I mean, I've got a great brother-in-law. My brother-in-law, who's married to my wife's sister, he's really pretty awesome because, you know, his wife can be mad at him. She can say something mean and, you know, accuse him of something. He might get mad, and then 10 minutes later, he's just a nice guy again, you know, and he's like, oh, sure, honey. You know, I try, but it starts to get under my skin, and then I mean back, and it's ugly for everybody, and it's hard for me to get past that. You know, I have like a short fuse, and I try, but it doesn't seem like it lasts very long. How about you?
I think part of it goes back to what we were talking about last week with the boundaries in your marriage and setting up, you know, things to make sure you don't derail your marriage. For my wife and me, I know there's, you know, from the earliest days of our relationship, we never would attack each other. If we got into an argument, we set it up so that, you know, the rules of engagement were we attack the problem, not each other. And we don't, you know, we deal with the issue that we're dealing with, not the 47 other things that we could bring up. And not insulting each other's families and that kind of stuff. And so that minimizes the anger level when we do get mad. But yeah, we get our feelings hurt and all that. And a lot of it for me has been just trying to become better and more positive as we go along. The usual way it works, if my wife is upset or overwhelmed, if she really gets in the dumps, she'll just keep going and going, and I'll keep trying to encourage her, and I'll keep saying nice things and positive things, and finally I snap. And I'm finally like, whatever, fine, so we're just going to live in this rat hole for the rest of our lives and everything's going to be terrible and blah, blah, blah. And then she really loses it because I've given up finally. And right. And then we're in real trouble because it's just we're headed down the rat hole at that point, you know. So it then finally, okay, we calm down a little bit and we realize this is serious. We've got to work on it, and we've got to maybe actually trust God and, you know, maybe go to Him and pray and try to work it out together. But it's there's a lot of that back and forth stuff that happens sometimes. So,
well, in fact, I just got an email from a guy this past week. He had written kind of about our conversation about, you know, I read a little email about a wife or a husband who said his wife has divorced him because she found another person on the internet. And this guy wrote, and he said, "Hey, Todd, my advice for guys in a similar situation as the techno war dad," he's talking, you know, if your wife or whatever, you're involved in this. Mm-hmm. "But prior to divorce was given to me by my father-in-law 10 years ago when my wife pulled the same stunt as described. Actually had an affair. He said, torn up over it, I called her divorced and remarried dad to share the grief. I thought he was partly to blame for it anyway. And the advice of this non-Christian man was, well, have a sense of humor." Now, at first I was puzzled, he wrote, which I was too when I read this. But he went on to say that looking back on his own failed marriage, he realized the issues he thought came between them were mostly in his own mind, and he should have let them go. And he thought if he would have had a sense of humor about it, he could have easily won her devotion back and kept the family together. "I knew how much she loved her dad, so I took his advice and began to use my sense of humor. Suddenly, I wasn't the stiff jerk my wife thought I had become. I began to think of fun things to do with just her. I began to eat healthier, lose weight, exercise, not throw a fit over the cost of doing fun things together or over buying me a jacket she thought I looked good in just because it was expensive. But wore it with pride and a smile. Months later, in a heart-to-heart moment, she told me how much much better a man I was than the other guy, how much better a life it is with me, and that if she had chosen to be with him, they would have been divorced by now. I replied to that with some funny comments and adult instruction, to which she obliged as continues to. At first, I was all concerned over the cell phone account, phone number records, Facebook usage, and all that stuff. I put private investigators to shame, and it showed she was long gone for a long time, and I was an idiot not to know what she was up to, until the day I decided I was sick of the way the marriage was souring, and I walked up to the chair she was sitting in the corner and knelt down with a big smile on my face and said, "What's going on? I want to know." She couldn't help but let it out, since she thought she wanted a divorce anyway. I went berserk for a week or two, just short of kicking her out of the house, but after I switched on my sense of humor, and for the past 10 years, I couldn't care less about any of it. I focus on me, being the better husband, being the better dad, being the better everything. And it isn't easy, but I'm better for it. She's better for it. And the marriage is saved, and the family is saved. And we have a big one. I think he's saying family. And we have a great time together. You know, and I was thinking about that, and I've thought about it more than once. He was certainly not making light of, you know, her failures. But what he was saying is, he wanted to be the man that his wife would want to fall in love with. And I can remember, and I'm sure I've shared it, I'm talking about overwhelmed wife before, that a lady was telling me, who came up to me one time as I was speaking afterwards, and she said, "You know, my husband did just such a great thing the other day." She said, "I was outside with the kids and I was overwhelmed cleaning up messes, and I heard this crash or something happen, and I went around the corner and I saw this huge pile of mess, and I just started losing it. You know, I started hollering and screaming, and my husband ran around the corner and came to me face to face, and I thought he was going to say, 'What kind of mother would ever do this?' And she said instead, as tears gathered in her eyes, she said that he looked at her and said, 'Oh, I can tell you're overwhelmed. Is there anything I can do?'" You know, and she was overwhelmed by the even thinking about it. And I think sometimes my wife would like that. Instead of me pointing out her failures or pointing out that, she would just like me to be her knight in shining armor and come to her rescue when she feels overwhelmed. Now, she doesn't always act like it right away. In fact, she was mad at me this afternoon for not suggesting something that she wanted, you know, and I don't know how I was supposed to know I was supposed to suggest it, but maybe I should have. Maybe I should have known it. Maybe I should have known my wife better and should have done those things. So I just thought that was an interesting email, and a reminder to me as a dad that maybe I need to be a little less stoic, or a little less, like he called himself, a stiff jerk, and be my wife's knight in shining armor. We were talking just again with another couple, and the lady had mentioned that, you know, that she was doing something to please her husband, and she said, "Oh, but that'll never happen. Like, I'll never be able to please him." And that was sad to me, because he quit pursuing her. He quit thinking very highly of his marriage enough to fight for it, to work for it. So maybe that's the encouragement for me, not just to the dads who are listening, but for me to go back upstairs as soon as I'm done here and tell my wife again, "Are you sure there's nothing I can do? Come on, talk to me about it." And keep pursuing her until she breaks in the good way, not in the bad way. So I don't know. It's not easy.
And keep working at it, because, I mean, there seems to be such a plethora of ways that this comes at us. I mean, Satan's not lazy. He's attacking marriages all over the place. My wife and I went out the other night. She had a photo shoot for senior pictures for a homeschool kid that we know. And the mom had been at our homeschool co-op that my wife helps direct a couple years ago, but they had to stop doing that because she had to get a job. And now she's got this senior who actually just graduated, I think, but they were doing senior pictures for the girl. And then she's got a son who's 16, and he was along for this little photo shoot too, just sort of hanging out mostly. And they did a couple pictures with him. But I noticed a couple of times during the evening, and I was just there because I was available, and so I came to hang out and help carry stuff for my wife. But I noticed a couple of times during the evening, the son was really disrespectful to his mom. And something just caught my attention. And I noticed also that the wife hadn't said anything about her husband. And afterwards, I asked my wife, I said, she's still married, right? And Jen said, actually, no, she's not. She just told me they got divorced like a couple of years ago. That's why she had to get a job.
Mm-hmm.
And we didn't know that. And it was so interesting to me because the only reason, I mean, really the main reason I had asked was because the son had that personality trait that I've seen in other kids at that age when their parents have gotten divorced where, you know, dad's kind of split and the son just has that kind of snotty attitude that comes out sometimes. And I was like, wow, how is it that I can notice that? And you see, if you're observant, you can see these changes that happen in families. And I don't think the parents notice that stuff's happening a lot of times. They don't get what, and certainly when you're leading up to it and all you can think about is the affair you're having or how annoying your spouse is or whatever, you don't notice any of that stuff you don't think about what your kids are going to be like 3 years down the road. And I just look at it and I think, how is this not worth working it out? I don't care how difficult it feels at the moment. Get on your knees, like you said, and say, hey, is there something we can do? Let's work this out. We're on the same team here. It's worth fighting for.
Amen. How about we stop there, Scott? And let me just pray for all the dads. And then I'll go take care of my wife. Father, we just thank you for this little half hour of talking together. I thank you for all the men in this circle, whether it's Jeff Ropke or Scott or myself or the other people listening. We pray that you would help us men, in order to be good dads, help us to be good husbands. Help us to love our wives just like you loved us, and to give ourselves up, because it does matter. It matters not just for us, but for our children behind us and the children behind them. But we need your strength, all of us. Help me right now to go be a good husband to my wife. I thank you. I pray the same for Scott. I pray the same for all these men. Pray all this in your name, and all the dads said, amen. Hey, Dad, I got to go. I got to go take care of some business and check on my kids. Again, I want to thank Rob for sponsoring us at drivepop.com. And hey, don't forget, no matter what, you to dad.
And that's our show for this week, folks. Thanks for joining us on the Family Man Show with Todd Wilson. Don't forget to check out our sponsor, DrivePop.com. DrivePop.com offers unlimited cloud storage for all your computers, so you can rest easy knowing your data is protected. Thanks to Rob Boyron for being our first sponsor at DrivePop.com. Hey, and thanks for joining us this week on the Family Man Show. If you've got a question for the show, email it to FamilyMan@FamilyManWeb.com. Thanks, and have a great week.